preparation for revival, Hosea 10, verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Let's pray. Father, thank You today for the reading of Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for this important little verse. And we know, Lord, that it has an important message for us. And so I pray You'd help us as we look into this subject today, because next week we'll be having a revival meeting. And I pray that it'll be more than a meeting, Lord. I pray You'd send revival. So we commit this time to You, ask for Your enablement to bring the message, speak to each of our hearts as only You can do. And Lord, touch us, touch our hearts concerning the things that are important and the things that have eternal value. Change us for Your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Revival is needed today among God's people. We need to recognize sin in our lives, seek the Lord for forgiveness, bow before Him in obedience, and then go on to serve and honor the Lord, loving Him with all of our hearts. That's what we need. Our text verse this morning comes from Hosea, a prophet of God to the northern tribes of Israel. He warned of judgment that was coming because of their sin. In his book, he mentions many of their transgressions against God, and there were many of them. In chapter 4, if you want to turn over there with me to verse 2, we see several listed in that one verse. He says in Hosea 4, verse 2, "By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood." So he says they're guilty of swearing and lying and killing and stealing and adultery. In several verses in this passage, in this book, he tells us they're guilty of idolatry. And he tells about their idolatrous worship of Baal and others. He also says that they're guilty of drunkenness in chapter 7, verse 5. He says that they disregard the word of God, chapter 4, verses 4 to 6, and chapter 8, verse 12. He says they heard the word of God, they know the word of God, they have the word of God, but they just disregard the word of God. And then he says they're guilty of actually forgetting God. Just forgetting God. Living ungodly lives, just forgetting that God has anything to do with them or about them, they just forget God. Chapter 4, verse 10, chapter 5, verse 4, chapter 8, verse 14, chapter 13, verse 6, it says they forget God. Now, because of their sin, Hosea told Israel that it was time for them, as we saw in verse 12, to seek the Lord. He said, it's time for you to seek the Lord. Now, I understand that this verse this morning is in the book of Hosea. And because it's in the book of Hosea, we know that it's a verse and it's a book written to the children of Israel. Not particularly to us, but to the children of Israel. But we also know that the Bible tells us even the Old Testament is profitable for us. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So this is for us as well as for them. And there are principles in this book, in this passage, that are applicable to us today and beneficial to us today. And that's the way we want to look at it. And since we're going to begin a revival meeting next week, I want us to consider some things about preparation for revival. Preparation for revival. We're going to see three main things this morning from this verse. Look with me, first of all, that the right time for preparation for revival is now. The right time is now. In the scripture, often the Lord talks about being that now is the time, and now is the time that we're to do certain things. The Bible tells us that now is the time to be saved. So if you've come today and you have never yet trusted Jesus as your Savior, now we might think you have. I mean, my home church, Kings Mills Baptist, for many, many years, they thought that Earl McGuffey was a Christian. In fact, their young man, Earl McGuffey, had gone off to school to study for the ministry. He was at Cedarville College, and he was and the Bible major. He was preparing for the ministry, and they knew that. But then what they didn't know about Earl McGuffey was that he was not saved. But I remember the day I got saved, and I remember that first time that I got to preach at King's Mills. After that, the pastor just asked me if I would preach because I was the preacher boy. And I said I would be glad to. And I stood up that morning and I preached about a no-so salvation. And I took them to 1 John and I preached about that. And I told them about this guy I knew. And I told them all about him and what he went through and how the Lord dealt in his heart. And I told them all about this guy. They had no idea I was talking about me. And then right at the end of the message, I said, folks, I want to tell you, the fellow I just told you about was me. And they couldn't believe it. And the Lord spoke that day to people's hearts, and people came forward, and some got saved, and the Lord did great things. But I was unsaved. People thought I was saved, but I was unsaved. If you've come today and you're not saved, the Bible would say to you, now is the day of salvation. The scripture says in Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Now is the time. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I want you to turn with me to that passage because we're going to look at the context of that as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. He says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So we who know the Lord as Savior, we're ambassadors for God, and we're telling other people that they need to be reconciled to God. He says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so the Lord says that Jesus Christ was made to be sin for us. He became sin for us on the cross of Calvary. God dealt with him as if he would deal with us. Because he had the sin of the world laid on him. And so since there was the sin of the world and God was ready to judge, God judged Jesus instead of us. And because of that, we can have salvation. And so God is satisfied. He says, oh, your sin's been paid for. I am reconciled. Now you be reconciled to God. And chapter 6, verse 1 says, we then as workers together with him beseech you that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So now is the time to be saved. If you've been dealt with by the Lord and you know that you're not saved, the Lord says, now is the time. Tomorrow might be too late. Don't wait till it's too late to be saved. But also, it is the time for God's people to get right with God, and that time is now. I mean, we can't wait any longer. If there are things in our life that need to be straightened out, we need to straighten it out now. If you would ask the Lord, Lord, when should I do this? The Lord's answer would be, now is the time. Now is the time to get this settled. In Romans chapter 6, verse 19, it says, even so, now yield your servants to righteousness unto holiness. In that context, he says, you had been living for the devil. You had been living for unrighteous ways. Now you're saved. Now is the time to live for the Lord and to turn your life over to him completely and live for him. Servants of righteousness for the Lord. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11, it says, and that knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of sleep. And the child of God who's participating in things he shouldn't participate in, doing things that he shouldn't do. And many of you today, I mean, all of you today look pretty nice. You've come into the house of the Lord. I know nothing about your week. I know nothing about what's gone on in your life. I know nothing about your private times. I know nothing about what you read and what you look at. I know nothing about what you think, but God does. And God says to you and he says to me, now is the time to do something about that. And he says, cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. That's 2 Corinthians Romans chapter 13, verse 11. He says, now is the time to wake out of sleep. And verse 12, he says, cast off those works of darkness, put on the armor of light. And so when is the time? Well, the Bible says it's now. You see, tomorrow might find you more bound by sin than you are today. Sometimes Christians get involved in sin and it's getting a hold of them. And it's getting to where that they really don't care about coming to church anymore. It's getting so they'd rather do other things than come to the Lord and come to church. It's getting so they'd rather do other things than read their Bible or pray or to be with God's people or to witness or anything like that. They're really not interested as much as they used to about godly things. And the Lord would say to us, today is the day to change that, because tomorrow you might be more bound by your sin than you are today. In fact, that will happen. Sin never gets better, it gets worse. Also, tomorrow might find you hurting someone that you love. Maybe your sin up to this point hasn't gotten to the place where it's hurting somebody else, but if you let it continue, it will. Tomorrow might bring you great regrets that maybe you won't have right now because your sin hasn't really come to fruition. It really hasn't gotten to where it's really affecting too many people. But if you wait, if you keep on doing that, if you don't get it right with the Lord, then it's going to bring you regrets. Tomorrow might disqualify you from service. I mean, there are preachers today who cannot pastor anymore because they've failed the Lord and they've committed immorality and they've been unfaithful to their wife. And I believe, according to the scripture, they can't pastor anymore. Now, some people say, well, if they just get it right, they just forget, confess it and get it right and let the Lord forgive them, why can't they? Well, the Lord says something like in the scripture, he says that the man of God is to be above reproach. And then in Proverbs, it says a man who commits adultery with a woman, his reproach shall not be wiped away. So I believe that once a man has become unfaithful to his wife, that his privilege of being a pastor is taken away. So if that ever happens to me, then you do the smart thing, because I won't be in my right mind. You do the smart thing and say, Pastor, you can't be here anymore. You can't pastor anymore. We might let you stay as a member, but somebody else has to come in and pastor. Take away my pastorship because I don't qualify anymore. And what I'm saying is, if you are participating in sin, today is the day to take care of it, because if you let it go on, it might get to the place where it breaks out in your life and it'll disqualify you from doing something you could have done for the Lord. And so today is the day. Today is the right time. The right time is now. But let's look at another thing in this passage. Not only the right time is now, but the responsibility is ours. The responsibility is ours. When it comes to taking care of sin in a Christian's life, responsibility is ours. When it comes to taking care of trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, nobody else can do that for you. Your dad can't do it for you. Mom can't do it for you. Your wife can't do it for you. You must do it. You must trust Jesus as your Savior. God has no grandchildren. And you don't become a child of God because your dad is a child of God or your mom is. God has no grandchildren. You have to be a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, and you have to be the one who exercises that faith. And so the responsibility is yours when it comes to seeking the Lord. Responsibility is yours. So we must seek the Lord. That's our responsibility. He says in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, he says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. It is time to seek the Lord. It's time for you and me to seek the Lord. Now, we understand that from the scripture, nobody can seek God of his own. And I understand that. And so let me give you the scripture that says that. Psalm 10, verse 4 says, the wicked will not seek after God. Psalm 14 says, God looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did good. And he said, all had gone out of the way. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. He says, no one seeks after God. In the book of Romans, chapter 3, it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. In and of ourselves, we do not seek after the Lord. The scripture also says that the Lord must draw a person or they'll never come to him. And so in John chapter 6, verse 44, it says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Nobody comes to the Lord unless the Father draws him. Now, I'm telling you all this because it says we're to seek the Lord. But God says nobody seeks after God. But it also says nobody can come to the Lord except the Lord drawing. So I believe the solution is this. If God is drawing you, then you need to seek Him. You wouldn't seek Him unless He draws you. He says, no man comes to me unless the Father draws him. But I believe that everybody here today is being drawn by the Lord. I mean, you're hearing the Word of God. The Word of God has a drawing power. The Word of God is God's message that comes out to you and says, come to me. And so the Lord is drawing. And everybody here would be under that category of those that the Lord is drawing. And so the Lord says, if I'm drawing you, then you draw close to me. You seek me. Seek the Lord while he may be found. The Lord must draw us. But when he draws us, we must come to him. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 7, it's in your bulletin this morning. And talks about the first time that the word come appears in the scripture. And the Lord says, come into the ark. The last time the word come appears in the scripture is in Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Lord says, come, come. And so the Lord wants us to come. He says, nobody seeks after me, but I draw you. And when I draw you, then you're to come. And so the Lord wants us to come. But it's our responsibility. You see, God doesn't move against your will. God will make you willing. God will work to you in you so that you'll want to come. But you still have to come. So it's our responsibility. The responsibility is ours. The Lord wants us to come. Isaiah 55, verse 6 again says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. So the unsaved should come. The saved person who's drifted away from the Lord should come. They should seek the Lord. It's our responsibility. But I want you to notice something else about this. It's not only our responsibility to seek the Lord, but it's also our responsibility to break up the fallow ground. Notice what the verse says. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. You break up your fallow ground. That's our responsibility. The right time is now, and the responsibility is ours, and our responsibility is to seek the Lord, and our responsibility is to break up our fallow ground. Now, in the Bible, the Lord pictures the heart as the ground. You remember the parable of the sower and the seed. And it's in Matthew chapter 13 and Luke chapter 8. The Lord talks about the sower went forth to sow, and he sowed on certain types of ground. One ground was hard, another ground was cluttered with other things, and some ground was good. But the ground was the heart. And the Lord says that we are to break up the fallow ground. The fallow ground means the ground that has not been prepared for the seeding. A later definition of fallow meant ground that had been plowed but had not been seeded, and therefore it starts growing back up. But probably in this context, the fallow ground means ground that has not been plowed. And the Lord wants us to plow that ground and get it ready. He says to this, your heart sometimes becomes hard. And even as Christians, that can happen. Our hearts can become hard. Now see, we're planning a revival meeting next Sunday, starting. And it's going to go Sunday through Friday. All we've planned is a revival meeting. We could have revival. That's up to us and God. We can plan the meeting. We can have the speaker come. We can plan the program. But revival comes from God. But we have something to do with it. Because the Lord says we need to break up the fallow ground of our heart. Now, I want you to think with me for a minute. If our hearts are the ground, and the Lord says break up the fallow ground, think of it like this. Next week, the evangelist is coming. He's going to preach Sunday morning, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. He's going to preach more in a week than I do. What's he going to be doing through the week? He's going to be sowing the seed. sowing the seed of God's Word. We're going to come. Is that seed that He's going to sow do us any good? Is it going to do us any good? Are we going to go, come and just hear the Word of God and leave the meeting not changed? It's all going to depend upon us. I mean, God can work in any of our hearts. He's not limited. So it's going to depend upon us. So what do we have to do? We have to break up the fallow ground of our heart. You see, if our heart has not been prepared to receive the seed, then it won't receive the seed. And I believe that's what Hosea is saying. He's saying, break up the fallow ground of your heart. And so our hearts sometimes become hardened. They become hardened by the daily demands of life. You know what that is. I mean, you just run and run and run, and it's called the rat race for a reason. You know, everybody's so busy. And we don't have time. We don't have time for church. We don't have time for the Bible. We don't have time for people. We're just too busy. And so the busyness of life, the demands of life, sometimes make our heart hard to the Word of God. Oh, we'll come to the revival meeting. We'll just barely make it. We'll just barely make it here. And we showed up, but our heart wasn't ready. And we left unchanged. Why? Because we didn't do our part, our responsibility, and that is to break up the fallow ground of our heart. Our heart is also hardened by desires that we have. Desires for possessions. Desires for pleasures. Desires for prestige. Desires for people. Our heart is hardened by the desire for everything else but God and His Word. And so Hosea says, seek ye the Lord. Hosea says, break up the fallow ground of your heart so that you can receive the Word of the Lord. And then our hearts are hardened not only by the demands of life and the desires of life, but also the dirt of life. And that is the sin. I mean, are we going to be ready for a revival meeting? It's going to depend upon the condition of our heart. It's going to depend upon the condition of our heart that has been hardened sometimes by sin. If we as God's people have been allowing sin in our life, we've been tolerating it, you might not think it's happening, but it is. If you're tolerating sin, your heart is becoming hardened. And if our heart becomes hardened, then it won't receive the Word of God. So the Lord says, break up the fallow ground of your heart. Let me say this takes a deliberate decision on your part. If you don't make, and I don't make, a deliberate decision before next Sunday, then probably not much is going to happen. Now, it could, later in the week, as God really deals with us. But if we want to get the full benefit of the revival meeting, now I like Brother Davis. He's a great guy. I enjoy spending time with him at Bible camp when he's been there. I love to hear him sing. I'm disappointed when he preaches and doesn't sing. And I shouldn't be that way because I love the preaching. But I love to hear him sing. And so I look forward to that. But, you know, he's not going to be able to do much, accomplish much, unless we do something before he gets here. And that is, we have to make a conscious choice. Did you notice this verse says, sow to yourselves. You do this. He says, in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground of your heart. Seek the Lord. This is something we have to do. It's in preparation for the revival meeting. We have to do this. We have to break up the fallow ground of our heart. Psalm 139 says it like this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The psalmist said, Lord, search my heart. Try me. Know me. Tell me what's wrong. And that's the beginning of breaking up the fallow ground of our heart. Asking the Lord to do this. Saying, Lord, I want this to happen. And I want my heart to be plowed up. Now we must plow up our heart. Break up the fallow ground. And when you do that, you uncover things. Have you ever noticed when you plow a garden that the birds come? Why do they come? I mean, 10 minutes before I plowed the garden, they weren't around. But I plow the garden, and what happens? Here they come. Robins come, and blackbirds come, and other birds come. What are they doing? They're picking out those things that were down in there they couldn't get to. Worms and bugs and things like that. Things we don't like, but there they are. And you plowed up the garden, and there they come. Now, we're to plow up our hearts. We're to break up the fallow ground of our heart. And that means we're to ask the Lord to search our heart. And Lord, plow it up and show us what's there. And so when we do that, we find things are there. You know, the scripture says in Proverbs 28, verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. If we are not prospering in our walk for the Lord, if we're not prospering in our life, maybe we need to look and say, there's some things we're covering up. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Well, let's go on an examination this morning of our hearts. And I want you to get ready because I'm going to mention some things that might be your sin. I'm sure there's some that are my sins. But let's see if we can ask the Lord to help us uncover these things. Are you willing to let the Lord plow into your heart? Are you willing to be responsible yourself and actually get into this and do this yourself and say, Lord, I'm willing. I will get in there and I'll plow up my heart and I'll let you see what's there. You know what's there, but I want to uncover it, Lord. Because, you know, if we think hard enough, we can find these things in our heart. Maybe there is a lack of love for God. I have to say guilty. I have to say that I don't love the Lord as much as I should. Can't all of us say that? Lord, I need to love you more. And when we break up the fallow ground of our heart, we see that. We see a neglect sometimes of God's Word. And when we say we love the Lord, but do we spend time in His Word? Do we read the Scripture? Do we want to know what He says? Break up the fallow ground of your heart and you will see that there might be that sin of neglecting the Word of God. There might be the sin of neglecting prayer. And we don't pray like we should. We don't talk to the Lord like we should. And so if revival is going to come, we've got to start dealing with that and uncovering that and saying to the Lord, Lord, this is wrong. I know it's wrong. I see it, Lord. It's there. I just wouldn't admit it before. But I know it's a sin. I don't pray like I should. Unfaithfulness in church attendance. What are your excuses? Excuses are the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie, someone has rightfully said. And that's usually true. What are our excuses why we don't come to church? Maybe you're here this morning, but what are the excuses that you don't come more? Or maybe you've missed a lot, and I don't have anybody in mind. I'm just saying, this is something that we need to think about. And the Lord would say it's sin because He says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. As the manner of some is. And so the Lord says, uncover that in your heart. Break up the fallow ground of your heart so you can see. How about a lack of concern for souls? Are we really concerned for people as we should be? How about a lack of concern for missions? Do we give to missions? When you said, I will give so much for faith promise, are we doing that? Are we giving to the Lord like we said we would? Are we actually involved in the ministry of reaching those out in other places of the world through our missionary outreach, giving to missions? What about robbing God by not giving to Him that portion that He wants us to give Him? I mean, everything we have comes from Him. He gave us all. Should we not give to Him? And so the Lord says that could be a sin in our life. That we need to plow into this week and see, Lord, I agree that this is sin. I'm going to uncover it and admit it to you. It's sin. I want to change it. I want to start giving to you like I should. What about our failure and our family responsibilities? Are we the husband we should be? Are we the wife we should be? Are we the submissive child we should be? Or we have a grumpy attitude and we won't obey mom, we won't obey dad, or if we do, we do it with the wrong attitude. Well, you're not going to have revival if that's true. The Lord says, break up the fallow ground of your heart. What is a parent? What about a parent? Are we the parent that we should be? Do we do what we should do as a parent to love our children and to nurture them and bring them up in the way of the Lord? Are we doing that? What about grandparents? Are we the grandparent we should be? I mean, revival meeting's coming. We want the Lord to work, but He's going to work on and develop in soil that's been plowed up. He wants to plant the seed, and if it's hardened over by sin, He can't do that. So as grandparents, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, am I the grandparent I should be? What about failure to love the brethren in our church, to love one another and to care for one another? We often fail in that. The Lord says, uncover it, admit it. It's sin. What about unthankfulness to God? We take so much for granted. What about dishonesty? What about deceiving people? Making people think we're something that we're not, or telling them something that's not quite true, or stretching the truth so it would not be recognizable by somebody who really knew it. I mean, what is it that we're doing? Is it dishonesty? Are we lying? Do we lie to people? Do we lie to cover up things? Are we liars? The Lord says, break up the heart so you can see those things. What about pride? Do we really think we're something? Are we stuck on ourselves? Do we think we're so much better than somebody else? We're so much better looking than somebody else? We're so much smarter than somebody else? We're so much more educated in certain things? I mean, how is it? Are we proud of who we are? The Lord says He hates pride. And we need to break up the fallow ground of our hearts so the Lord can see that, or so we can see it and admit it to God. What about envy? Do you come in church and look across the way and see somebody and say, oh, I wish I had what they had? Do we envy them? Are we envious? What about anger and wrath and the loss of control of your temper? What about that? Is that a sin that easily besets you and you know that's there and you keep justifying it? Is that a part of it? Then you need to say to the Lord, Lord, I know this is wrong. I need to quit saying that there was a reason for it, that was justifiable because of the circumstances. Lord, it's wrong. It's better for me to control my temper, Lord. As the scripture says, a man who can control his temper and control himself is greater than he can that can take a city. That means a strong man that comes in and takes charge of a city. If you can control yourself, that's a greater accomplishment. So if we can't control ourselves, the Lord says we need to admit that to God. What about gossip? You might say, no, I'm just an informer. I like to know the facts so I can tell people all about it. Well, maybe you're a gossip. Maybe your sin is gossip. You just like to spread something around. Maybe it's something that you know that nobody else knows, and to make it sound a little bit better, you just add a little bit to it. Are you a gossip? Well, if that's true, then, and probably you know, and maybe a few people know, but there might be a lot of people who don't know that about you, but God does. So you need to break up the ground of your heart, admit that to God, because revival meeting is coming. We want God to do something in our heart. What about lust? Do you have those desires of lust that are wrong? And those things are in your heart and you feed them every once in a while with things you shouldn't read, you shouldn't see. And yet you readily do that. And when you're on the computer and you're on the internet, you might put in some word and help up come something and you didn't mean to bring that up, but since it's there, you might as well go ahead and look at it. And you're feeding your lust. I mean, if that's a part of your life, how do you expect to have revival unless you break up that ground of your heart and let the Lord see it and say, Lord, I know it's true. I know it's there. You know all about it, but I want to admit it and I want you to forgive me, Lord. Break up the fallow ground of your heart. Is there adultery in your life? I mean, actual adultery, not just of the heart, but the actual performance. And you've kept it secret. It won't get better, my friend. It'll get worse. What about fornication? Is that involved in your life, especially young people today or older people? I mean, there's some terrible things that go on in older people's lives, even in rest homes. I mean, you wouldn't believe. But people are wicked. And we just need to come to the Lord. And if there's sin in our life, we need to admit it. What about drugs, the misuse of drugs? Some drugs, you know, are misused and people don't know anything about it because it's prescription drugs. When you become hooked and you can't live without certain things and you take more and more than you should and you become so dependent upon that and you, rather than the Holy Spirit controlling your life, something else is controlling your life. There's so many things. What about alcohol? What about tobacco? I mean, so many things. What about overeating? So that it's become a real problem. And so many things that we can say to the Lord, Lord, I know I'm out of control in this. And I need to admit it to you. What about being unkind to people? Being bitter, unforgiving. And you're just not the person you should be as a Christian. Well, revival meeting is coming. And what we need to do is break up the fallow ground of our heart. Before the revival meeting begins, we need to do some plowing of our hearts and say, Lord, here it is. I admit it. I must have victory. I confess it to you as sin. And then we must do something else as our responsibility. He says, seek the Lord. He says, break up the fallow ground of your heart, because that's the only way it's going to happen. And then he says this, sow righteousness. Sow righteousness. After exposing our sin to the Lord and confessing it to him, we must begin to do right. Sow righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34 says, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some have not the knowledge of God because we Christians don't live right. So awake to righteousness. Our responsibility is to sow righteousness. That is, do the right thing. The whole purpose of breaking up the ground of our heart is so that we will uncover the bad, confess it to the Lord, and start doing the right. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we live a life of faith, doing what is right, it takes the Word of God. And so in order for us to have the Word of God, we must get that heart plowed up, get the things right, and then start doing what is right. Responsibility. The right time is now. The responsibility is ours. And then the third thing I see in this verse, and that is the results are great. Look at the results. He says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Here are the results. I see three results in this passage. First of all, the reign of righteousness, R-A-I-N. The Lord reigns righteousness. I was thinking about that. How does God reign righteousness upon us? Of course, if you're not saved, you get saved. The Lord reigns righteousness upon you because he gives you his righteousness. But if you are saved, you know the Lord, you have his righteousness. How does God reign righteousness upon us when we break up the fallow ground of our heart and seek the Lord? Well, I believe it could be said like this. God will always do right by us. Righteousness means doing what is right. God will always do right by us. You can trust him. And many people don't obey the Lord because they don't trust him. I mean, if I do this, Lord, look, this could happen. Trust the Lord. And he says this, I will rain righteousness upon you. I will rain upon you right things. I will do it. You can trust me to do right, God says. The reign of righteousness. In Psalm 85, verse 6 says, wilt thou not revive us again? Lord, revive us. And then notice what he says the rest of the verse, that thy people may rejoice in thee. If we seek the Lord and he changes our life, then the result will be he will reign righteousness. He will be good to us. He will do the right things for us. And it'll bring rejoicing. It'll bring joy. The reign of righteousness. But then there's another thing, and that's the reaping of mercy. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. I like mercy. Mercy is when God's hand should fall on us, but it doesn't. Grace is when God's hand, we don't deserve His hand of provision and blessing, but He reaches out to us. So grace and mercy. You get what you don't deserve and you don't get what you do deserve. That's pretty good. And the Lord says you will reap mercy. So if we do what is right and we submit to the Lord, then He says you will reap mercy. But then there's another thing that's even better than all that. And that is, you'll have the reality of His person. Did you get it? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and you'll get mercy. Seek the Lord and you'll have a reign of righteousness. But seek the Lord and you'll have something better than what He gives. You'll have Him. Seek the Lord. Sometimes we forget that we're to seek the Lord. I mean, being close. Remember what He says in James? Draw nigh to Me and I'll draw nigh to you. Seek the Lord. There's something about His person that's more blessed than what He gives us. Seek the Lord. And if God will deal in our hearts from this revival meeting, if we'll get ready this week and break up the fallow ground of our heart and respond rightly to the Lord, then the Lord says, I'll bless you. And when you seek Me, you will find Me. And it's good to know the Lord. It's good to find the Lord. This past week, my wife and I took a few days and Jenny went with us. We went to Tennessee. And we spent 3.5 more days down there working, going through all of Aunt Margaret's possessions, getting ready for a sale that's probably going to be around the 1st of November. And going through all those possessions sometimes makes you long for the person who's gone. And they were very organized. I mean, you wouldn't believe it. I saved everything. I even found up in her kitchen cabinet where she saved the tag off of a turkey she had bought with the strings that were tied up the turkey, all wrapped in a little package. I mean, everything was saved. Every newspaper they got, she took the rubber band off of it, put it away. Because the lady who stayed with us says, well, wait till you start finding the rubber bands. And we did. They were all over the place. But all neatly arranged. Out in the shed, there were boxes. And there was a box that said, Paul's hankies. And Uncle Paul never knew that one of his handkerchiefs was going to go into the ministry. Here it is. All cleaned, laid out flat in a box. Everything was organized. Underneath the house, there were boxes. There were bottles that he had saved, and he saved the boxes. So the bottles are worth more now because of the boxes. But I found boxes with aftershave box with the empty bottle inside of it. And out in the shed, guess what we found? A box that up there said it had a label on it. Empty box. That's exactly what it said. Everything was organized, but there were some boxes there with quilting pieces that she had ready to do a quilt. There were boxes with quilts in them that were almost done, but not completely done. We found the quilting frames. And when we found all these things that were Aunt Margaret's, it made you long to see Aunt Margaret again. But you know, those things can draw you close to their memories. But those things can't draw you close to them. But there's something different about the Lord. And He says, seek the Lord. And guess what? You can find Him. He says, draw nigh to Me and I'll draw nigh to you. If you can look at the things that were your dad's or mom's and they remind you of your dad or mom, they might say, well, that draws me closer to them. No, it doesn't. They're up in heaven if they're saved. And you're no closer to them just because you looked at their picture. You're closer to their memory. But with the Lord, it's different because He's here and He lives inside of us. And He says, if you draw close to Me, I'll draw close to you. So the greatest thing that we have, the greatest reward, the greatest result of this preparation for revival is when we seek the Lord and we plow up that ground of our heart and we get it right with the Lord and we start doing what is right, the Lord says, you'll seek the Lord and you'll find Me and the Lord will be special to us. And that's what we must do. Preparation for revival. Are we prepared? Let's make sure that we are.